Dominant Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. Today, we are live at Twin Peaks out here in Madison, where tonight at 6 o'clock, we will have the draft show, draft night in Nashville. Trevor Maddich, Derek Mason, Chris Sanders will all be live out here at Twin Peaks in Madison. And I'll say this, right now there's probably, I don't know, 20, 25 people. There's probably room. I don't want to get anybody mad at me. I don't want the fire marshal or anything. There's probably room for like 150 people in here. So pack them in tonight because we will be here from 6 until the end of round 1. And yes, and I heard the midday show today, Ian. They were taking... they were setting the Vegas odds on a meltdown tonight when the Titans pick at 7 o'clock, or at 7, after the draft starts at 7 o'clock. Caroline said minus 650, which I thought was a little...
That seems a little high, but...
I thought it was a little out there. I mean, and that being said, again, 6 o'clock the draft show starts, 7 o'clock the draft starts. Chris Sanders, Derek Mason, Trevor Maddich, all right here at Twin Peaks in Madison. So stop on by. And our coverage tonight will be presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment, ESPN Bet Sportsbook, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. All right, let's start with this. I cannot make any promises that I can't keep. I will not do that. I am not going to sit here and tell you that I'm not going to freak out tonight when the Titans pick at 7. I can't promise that. But I think it is highly unlikely that I'm going to go crazy today when the Titans pick at 7. Because while the Titans can absolutely, quote-unquote, screw up this draft by picking a guy who maybe off the field we don't know's got problems or maybe isn't a fit for a system or something like that, given where they're picking in this draft, I find it very, very difficult for that to happen. The draft really today starts at 3 because Caleb Williams is going to go at 1 and it is almost a lead pipe lock that Jaden Daniels will go at 2. Just the expectation is that it's going to be quarterback 1, quarterback 2. Well, you don't need a quarterback. So the more quarterbacks that go, the better. Drake May goes at 3, great. I hope JJ goes at 4 or 5 or whatever. Because then that pushes the good players down to you. And we've talked about the elite players in this draft. Every time that we used to have a draft day, we'd start it right here, 2 o'clock back in the day on the old Jared and the GM program, and the old man would have 5 Titans targets. And this was when they were picking at 19 or picking at 21 or picking at 28. And it's like, okay, going into the night, here are the 5 targets you hope are available. If they're not there, you trade out. You know, there's some pie in the skies that if this guy happens to be available, take it, but he's probably not going to be. But here are 5 guys. Here's the hope, is that one of these 5 guys is there that you can take. Well, you're picking at 7, and 3 or 4 quarterbacks are going off the board before you pick. So to me, this is a simple draft. This should be an easy draft. This should be the night, because no matter what happens, as long as 3 quarterbacks go with the first 3 picks, you are guaranteed to be able to draft one of the following high-level, big-time prospects: Joe Alt, Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison, Brock Bowers, or Roma Dunze. And if the Titans walk away with any of those players tonight, I'll be happy about the future of this team. They need playmakers. I know. They signed Tony Pollard. They signed Calvin Ridley. You know, people say, oh, yeah, no, that's our number one. That's our wide receiver number one. Where does Calvin Ridley rank in the league? 13th? 14th? That's not bad. And I'm not crapping on Calvin Ridley, but what I'm saying is, you take one of these guys really, really high, you take Nabers or Marvin Harrison, we're talking about Jamar Chase level good. You know, that's the hope. We know left tackle's been a problem for this team for the last 2 years. Draft Joe Alt with that pick, and I'm pretty sure you don't have to worry about the left tackle position. And then Brock Bowers is an absolute playmaker. Rick Spielman compared Roma Dunze to A.J. Brown as a comp. I think we all could say, you know what, the Titans could use A.J. Brown. So it is almost certain. Again, you're at pick 7. Quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. Draft starts at 4. Let's say Marvin Harrison. I'd love to have Marvin Harrison. Let's say he goes at 4. Let's say Joe Alt goes at 5. I'd love to have Joe Alt at 5. Let's say Malik Nabers goes at 6. I'd love to have Malik Nabers while I'm still getting Brock Bowers or I'm still getting Roma Dunze. And there's absolutely nothing, unless I decide to trade back, there's absolutely nothing that can change that. And all of these guys are high-level elite prospects. This is not the 2022 draft where all of the gurus and everything else were looking at it and they were saying, yeah, there's like 10 first-round draft choices. There's like 13 first-round grades in this year's draft. This is an elite draft. These guys like Marvin Harrison and Joe Alt, they're not available at 7 in other drafts, but because all these teams need quarterbacks, and there are quarterbacks this year, and there's not going to be quarterbacks next year, this right here for these teams, it's like, well, we got to take a quarterback. Washington's got all these picks, and they got to take a quarterback. They can't take Marvin Harrison Jr. So to me, I break down, you know, to me, I think there are 3 separate groups here that are possibilities for the Titans. Number one for me is these are the guys that you draft them at 7. I don't care what you're offered. If it doesn't, you know, as long as it's not like 8 number one picks, if you walk away tonight with one of these guys, I'm happy. And I'm going in the order with which I would pick them. Number one is Joe Alt. He would be the number one hope for me today. That is over Marvin Harrison and Malik Nabers and all the other guys because I think he's the cleanest prospect of the group. Elite tape, NFL bloodlines, elite testing, which Marvin Harrison Jr. didn't have, 34 consecutive starts at Notre Dame, clean medicals, and a premium position. And while this draft is deep at tackle, so you could go back at 38, it is also deep, and I would argue deeper, at wide receiver. Add in the fact that you signed Calvin Ridley. To me, Joe Alt is the number one guy that I'm looking at today. Number two is Malik Nabers. He gets the nod to me over Marvin Harrison because I thought, watching college football this year, I thought Malik Nabers was a better player. Every time I watched LSU play, I said, Malik Nabers is that dude. Like, he's the man. I watch Ohio State play, and Marvin's good, but I never, you know, I always talk about feeling a player. I didn't feel Marvin Harrison Jr. the way I felt Malik Nabers when I would watch those games. Plus, Malik Nabers did the testing, Marvin Harrison didn't, and Malik Nabers' testing was elite. So Malik Nabers is number two. Marvin Harrison Jr. is number three. He won't fall to 7, but if he does, take him. And I don't think there's any discussion after that. If we leave Twin Peaks tonight with Marvin Harrison Jr. as a Tennessee Titan, you will not hear me complain. Number four is Brock Bowers. I have Bowers ahead of Adunze here, but it was close. To me, I don't care that Bowers is a tight end. I know a lot of people are like, Jared, tight ends aren't very good in the first round, and this tight end and that. Yeah, Brock Bowers isn't really a tight end. Brock Bowers is a weapon. You know, he is a matchup nightmare. He's the third guy in a trips receiver set, Hopkins and Ridley and Bowers. He can play the slot. You can stick him in the backfield. I mean, he is a special, special, special player. Mark Dominic will be on the show at 4 o'clock today. We'll ask him. He says take Bowers, you know, right off the top. Bill Polian loves Bowers. I mean, everybody seems to love Bowers here. So Bowers is in play at 4, Adunze at 5. That's the guy that I'm like, okay. If for some reason Alt's gone, Nabers is gone, Harrison's gone, Adunze is gone, Bowers is gone, take Adunze. And if you want to take Adunze over Bowers, I'm not going to argue about it, though I would take Bowers over Adunze. Then there's group number two. This is, I'm not going to go nuts if they take them at 7, like if their board shakes out this way. And they decide to take him at 7. I'm not going to go crazy, but I would prefer the other guys, and I know one of the other guys is going to be there. Olufashinu and Dallas Turner. Now, I've talked to some people that either are in the league or have been in the league, and they tell me that Fashinu, you know, I hear mixed reviews on Fashinu. One thing I've heard is that he's got elite potential from somebody who I trust. Doesn't have the technique yet. Isn't as far advanced as Alt, but he's got elite potential. Well, that's what you pay Bill Callahan for, is to be able to draw out the best out of that elite potential. And then with Dallas Turner, I think Dallas Turner is a better pass rusher than, say, J.C. Latham is a right tackle. But Turner still needs some work. His biggest calling card is that his athleticism. Tyree Wilson was an unbelievably athletic pass rusher last year, didn't do much. Well, so was Javon Kearse, and we know how that story went out. And then I've got what I call Group 3, which is the trade-down group. And again, this is you. Minnesota calls, Denver calls, the Raiders call, and you end up moving out. Then if you're picking at 11 or 12 or 13, I know you're not going to get Joe Alt. You're probably not going to get Brock Bowers. You're definitely not going to get any of the receivers. At that point, I would be okay with J.C. Latham. I'd be okay with Thalisse Fuaga, and I'd be okay, and we haven't talked about him at all, but I'd be okay with Quinyon Mitchell out of Toledo, because he might be the best defensive player in this draft. And you can always use extra help at DB. So far in our mock drafts, we've ended up, when we've done the simulations, you know, the Pro Football Focus thing, Marvin Harrison, Brock Bowers, Joe Alt, Jaden Daniels, Joe Alt, and J.C. Latham. We've got two more we're going to do today. But again, we don't go outside of this list of players. And the Titans should not be going outside of the list of these players either. And see, what tonight is tonight is the Christmas day for the horrendous season that we had to endure last year. With all the drama and the bull crap and Vrabel and all the, you know, Andre Dillard and is Skoronski a guard? Is he a tackle? And what about Tannehill and Henry and the trade deadline and Byard? And that just miserable season last year. This is the reward, is that you are in a spot where you are going to walk out of tonight with an elite player. And if you don't walk out of tonight with an elite player, then you really screwed the pooch. And I don't even think this group, which you know I don't have a ton of faith in, I don't even think they would screw up tonight. So I'm excited. This is probably the most excited I've been for a draft show, probably since the draft was here. Maybe the COVID draft, just because there was nothing else to do until the COVID draft. I think I got kind of sad, though, because I was like, well, what are we going to talk about once the draft's over? But tonight, I mean, this is the gift for sucking so bad. And this is how Detroit got good, by drafting Penei Sewell. This is how Cincinnati got good, by drafting Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. This is how these teams, for the most part, that stink, this is how they get good. Everybody except for Kansas City. You know what pick Josh Allen was for the Buffalo Bills? 7th. So let's roll. 615-737-1025. We will get to you early and often today at 615-737-1025. Again, the draft show tonight, 6 o'clock, right here at Twin Peaks in Madison. We are inviting everybody out here. We're going to be giving away tons of stuff, I think, out here at the draft show tonight. Come on out, hang out. Again, we're Twin Peaks in Madison, and we'll be taking your calls today. Chris Sanders is going to join us later this hour. He will be here tonight with Derek Mason and Trevor Maddich, and we will be drafting starting at 7 with the show at 6. Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
I will say this about the Chargers, though. He has brought up offensive line. It has affected other teams to the point where in like the last 5 days, J.C. Latham, the Alabama right tackle, became a very prominent – there's a very prominent belief that, like, the Chargers are very locked onto Latham. Some people believe the Titans really like Latham. Like, if, let's say, Alt came off at 5, some people think the Titans would be more than happy to run the card in on Latham at 7. I trotted it out yesterday. I think it was early in the – you know – early afternoon, I said, I put Latham at 5. I get killed by Chargers fans. They absolutely murdered me. And then, like, then Daniel Jeremiah comes out with his mock late last night. And, oh, surprise, Latham now is at 5. So I'm like, all right, well, I'm not the only one hearing this, clearly.
He's copying you.
There's another, I'm sure DJ's copying me. But yeah, I sit there and I look at it and I'm like, they clear, like if they do this, and that's when I spotted them there, I'm like, if they do this, like, where are they getting their wide? They need wide receiver talent, and you'd be passing an elite at five to do this. Maybe yes. Even Marvin Harrison Jr., depending on how it all comes in.
All right, maybe I'll look stupid, but I am not buying the buzz whatsoever. I mean, not one iota, not one second, not one scintilla. Am I buying the idea that the Chargers are taking J.C. Latham with the fifth overall pick? But that is the scuttlebutt. That was Charles Robinson this morning on Robbie and Joe. And he's sitting there saying, hey, I'm starting to hear that the Chargers are going to go J.C. Latham at five. Daniel Jeremiah mocks J.C. Latham to the Chargers at five. And everybody, I think Field Yates this morning, by the way, mocked J.C. Latham at five. I heard Caroline bring this up today. And I think there's some truth to this, which is that Joe Ortiz, who is the general manager of the Chargers, though he is kind of the second in command. You know, he is the John Lynch there. We all know Jim Harbaugh is in charge. Joe Ortiz and Daniel Jeremiah go way back. Like when Daniel Jeremiah was a scout, Joe Ortiz was a scout. I think they worked together with the Ravens, though I'm not sure. But like they go back. And so it seems, you know, the scuttlebutt that I heard Caroline talking about was that it was, you know, around the league, from what she heard, was that it's Joe Ortiz who's telling Daniel Jeremiah, we're going to take J.C. Latham, and everybody then kind of reacting to that. I do not buy. There would only be two reasons, in my opinion, that he would be telling everybody they're going to take J.C. Latham. The first is that they're actually going to take J.C. Latham, and they're doing it now to dip their toe into the water so that when that pick comes across at five, their fan base doesn't revolt when they pass on Malik Nabers, for instance, in order to draft J.C. Latham. And teams do need to do that. You know, if it's not a surprise, I think sometimes you can live with it. The second reason, and I think more likely reason, is I think they decided to float a player out there that absolutely is not worthy of the fifth overall pick. Because when you float out there that we're interested in taking a guy who's not worth the fifth overall pick, teams that are sitting there at nine, for instance, Chicago, is going to pick up the phone and say, wait a minute, hold on. Before you do that, you can take J.C. Latham at nine. What will it take to get for you to flip with us if our guy, Nabers, Adunze, Harrison, if that guy's there, what will it take for us to be able to flip up there with you? And so they float out a name that is absolutely not worth the fifth overall pick. And when I hear Charles Robinson say that a lot of people are saying, hey, the Titans would be totally fine running that card in for Latham, I'm like, oh, God, no. Oh, God, that's how they screw it up. You know, if they're going to screw it up, that's how they're going to do it. They're going to take him at 7. I don't mind him at 11. Well, I don't like him at 11, but I don't mind him at 13. But I'm not taking him at 7. I mean, it's just ridiculous. I mean, like, let's just call it how it is. So all this scuttlebutt and smoke when it comes to the Chargers, I'm not buying. The second thing is, and I heard Caroline talking about this today, and I also think that this is probably right, is that Joe Alt came on the show yesterday and said he's more comfortable at left tackle than he is at right tackle, but if a team drafts him at right tackle, then he'll have to go back to the basics and learn how to play right tackle, and basically didn't say, I'm not interested in playing right tackle because he doesn't want to be that kind of guy. But I think that the teams that are looking at Joe Alt as a potential right tackle, which would be the Giants and would be the Chargers, because both teams have highly, highly paid left tackles, I think they've been told, hey, man, Joe Alt's probably not wanting to move to right tackle. And so maybe the Chargers did like Joe Alt, and now they're like, well, we want to get a right tackle, and Joe doesn't want to play right tackle, so what are we going to do? But I think there's some truth to that. I am not buying the buzz that the Chargers are drafting J.C. Latham. If the Chargers draft J.C. Latham at 5 today, A, I will be shocked. B, I will be ecstatic. Because that not only means that that's going to push Joe Alt most likely, more likely than not, to the Titans, but it also means, and I think this is more important, that you're not going to take J.C. Latham, which I don't want you to do. Because when I hear Trevor Maddich say that J.C. Latham may have to kick back into guard, that's all I need to know. And before you guys tell me, well, Trevor, you know, this, you know, Greg Cosell's, Trevor's the one who told you from the beginning Dylan Radins couldn't play. He's the one that told you Aaron Brewer was too small. He's the one that when the Titans try to sell you a narrative about something on the offensive line, Trevor's the one that's like, no, you can't really do that. And he's been right every time. So when he says that he thinks Latham may have to kick back into guard, and he says Latham he doesn't think can flip the left tackle, I'm not interested in Latham. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to weigh in. 615-737-1025. I also saw, by the way, another rumor, and I promise phones in a second. I saw another rumor where they had, it was Diana Russini came out about an hour ago and said the Rams are trying to get into the top 10. Well, the Rams are at 19. There is nothing the Rams have that they would reasonably trade that I would be interested in flipping from 7 to 19. I'm not interested in going from 7 to 19 if you give me next year's first. 19, you're two next year, or you're two this year, and you're one next year, and I'm still probably going to take the player. So there's just, to me, like, you can move to 13. I ain't moving to 19. Adam in Portland is up next. Our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam, kick us off. Go ahead.
I mean, maybe Cooper Kupp or something. I mean, you could package him, but yeah, you're right. There's.
You want to take an injured receiver who's probably approaching 30 years old?
Yeah, with a lot of other stuff, but he would have to be part of it. Hey, all right, so I've listened to your last few draft shows, Jared. I do think the Monty Rice overreaction was well worth it. I thought he was a sucky pick. But last year, it was all this talk about Skoronski, and I'm going to get to my prediction, but it was all this talk about Skoronski being that was he or was he not the top offensive lineman in the draft. I still think he was. Like, and I can't stand the way you say guard, by the way. I know they make fun of you for it, but that's let the big dog eat 2.0. I really wish you'd drop it. It really hurts
Why?
Me.
Because I was right about that, and I'm right about this.
It hurts my ears. So I really hope what
only
they're doing
a moron
this year,
takes a guard that's not that good with the 11th pick, and that's exactly what you did, and that's the point of it.
Okay, I didn't do it, but I watched him do it. I don't think it was a bad pick.
I know, but that's the reason why we do it, is to emphasize how much that screwed the Titans by screwing up the draft last year. That's the point.
Isaiah Wilson screwed him up, dude. That's what we're still trying to catch up on.
I'll tell you this right now.
Anyway, that's
you guys do not understand. Adam, thank you for your call. You guys do not understand something, which is that, like, I keep hearing about, oh, you know, this pick was bad, this pick was bad, this was the 28th pick in the draft. You miss on that, like, you can survive. You miss on 7, you're screwed. Like, the stakes are so much higher today. They are so much higher today. It's like, I still argue, and I'm glad he brought up Isaiah Wilson, because I believe this, and you guys will say that I argued. Jared Stillman says that you don't believe. I think the pick of Corey Davis was a bigger mistake than the pick of Isaiah Wilson. Because Corey Davis was a top 5 pick. You can't blow these picks. Just like you can't take guards at 11, which they did last year. You can't do it. And so, like, that's why I'm so happy about this year's draft, because with these guys, with Harrison and Neighbors and Adunze and Bowers and Alt, you can't, like, one of those guys. They all have elite NFL traits. None of them. You know, there's a little scuttlebutt about Neighbors off the field, but I think that may just be teams just putting that out there to push him down a little bit. None of these guys seem to have big baggage off the field. Like, this is why you can't screw tonight up. Like, you can't screw tonight up. And I'm sure some people are going to be mad because I cut Adam in Portland off. Because he wanted to make his prediction. He already did that on Robbie and Joe this morning, so we don't need it. It's not the Adam and Portland show. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. More your phones. 615-737-1025. And there is another player who we kind of discounted for a little bit, brought back into the discussion, But I heard something else that makes me think he absolutely should be in the discussion at 7. We'll do that next. Stillman & Company live out at Twin Peaks in Madison, where once again tonight at 6 o'clock, we will have the draft show at Stillman & Company, 102.5, 106 for the game.
Tight end doesn't look as normally a premium position, but you don't seem to play like a normal tight end, do you?
I feel like Georgia used me a little differently here and there. They put me in the backfield, flexed me out wide. Just kind of used me wherever, and I thought that was a ton of fun. So I think I might be a little different maybe.
There you go. That was Brock Bowers at the Super Bowl saying, yeah, you know, Georgia, they use me a little differently than the tight end. And a lot of you guys have thrown up the stop sign at third base on Brock Bowers and said, no. Do not take Brock Bowers with the 7th pick. Now, look, my number one guy is Joel. And if I end up with Marvin Harrison or Malik Nabers on the board with Bowers, I'm taking those guys. But I've got no problem with Brock Bowers with the 7th pick. And Mark Dominic was the one that kind of brought that back to my attention. You know, that kind of was like, hey, thank you so much. Mark Dominic was the one who kind of brought that back to my attention when he was like, oh, no, I'd take him, and I wouldn't even think twice about it. Wouldn't even think twice. I'm like, okay. Bill Polian last night on Sirius XM NFL Radio was asked about Brock Bowers. And again, you guys out there are like, oh, you can't take a tight end in the top 10 because they're not that good. Here's what Bill Polian had to say. And after you hear this, you tell me, and again, this is a Gold Jacket Hall of Famer. After you hear this, you tell me if you're like, okay, I wouldn't want to take Brock Bowers.
This isn't 1995 anymore. And the game is very different. And it's now a passing league. That's a cliche. But that translates to wide open formations and tight ends who are not attached very much anymore. You can find tight ends who can block. In fact, you can make them fullbacks. They can play two positions. The Kansas State kid is that guy. But what you can't find are tight ends who can detach and run routes like receivers and catch the ball like receivers and run after the catch and do all those things. And Brock Bowers can. He can play attached. He can play singled up on the backside of trips. He can play in the slot. He can do all of those things because he's a natural route runner, a natural separator, a natural catcher of the ball, and has more than enough speed to be able to mismatch certainly linebackers and safeties. My concern with Brock Bowers is if you wanted to play him as a traditional tight end, the way Baltimore plays Andrews, for example, that would worry me simply because of his body type. To borrow a phrase from Ron Jaworski, the tight end is a rookie quarterback's best friend. He can do everything you want a quality receiver to do, and he can do it from a number of different platforms and alignments. You know, in the top 10, you've heard me say this 100 times, but I'll repeat it. In the top 10, you should draft someone who scores touchdowns, who sacks the quarterback, who intercepts the ball. And in this case, Brock Bowers scores touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You hear that, and it's like, well, if you're thinking of a traditional tight end, he's not that. Well, the guys that you guys are like, oh, no, tight ends in the first round, those are traditional tight ends. Bowers isn't that. And when you guys say to me, well, you know, Cincinnati doesn't use the tight end that much, so why would the Titans with Brian Callahan, why would you want Brock Bowers? Because I don't think that Brock Bowers, again, is a tight end. I think Brock Bowers is going to be the Tyler Boyd of this offense if he's that kind of player. He'll be in the slot. He'll be lined up all over the place. And I think he will be a guy that they just throw the ball to constantly. Just constantly pound the ball to this receiver. And it's going to be Bowers. And when we think of these kind of coaches, these Ram McVay type coaches, that's actually exactly what they do, right? That's what Cooper Kupp is in that offense. TJ Hockenson, for instance, in Minnesota, was a top 10 pick with the Lions, and he was okay. And then he gets traded to Minnesota with Kevin O'Connell. He caught 95 passes last year in 15 games before he got hurt. I mean, that's pretty darn impressive. And so when I hear a guy like Dominic, as former GM, who I have a lot of respect for. And I hear a guy like Polian, who's got a gold jacket as a GM, and they're like, absolutely, you can take Brock Bowers in the top 10. As long as you don't try to use him like it's 1995 football, I think, you know what, he should be in play in the discussion for the Titans. And if they end up with him tonight, I'm not going to be upset about it. Let's go to Billy, who's up next here on the program as we're live out at Twin Peaks in Madison, where the draft show will be tonight at 6 o'clock. Billy, go ahead.
How you doing, Jared? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm kind of warming up to the whole Brock Bowers thing because most great quarterbacks have that safety valve, that tight end. But I'm calling to kind of settle a debate. Last year, a lot of people were calling for the tank, and you said no, you play to win the games no matter what. Would you rather, A, win the Miami game and pick seventh, lose that Miami game, you're picking fifth, and then you get to choose any player you want. You don't have to worry about anybody getting passed over. What would you prefer?
I'd rather win the Miami game.
Well, thanks for the time, man. I appreciate it.
Yep, I'd rather win the Miami game, and I'll tell you why. Peyton Manning said it on the Manning Cast that night. As Levis was driving them back, he said, this reminds me of me, talking about Manning, when he was quarterbacking as a rookie, Indianapolis, they were 3-13, and he said he had a come-from-behind victory against the Jets. And getting that come-from-behind victory against the Jets was the moment that he knew that he had the confidence that he could do it. And I think that's really important. And, I mean, again, every time we've run one of these draft simulations and Jaden Daniels is there, or Drake May's there, and I'm like, so do you take Jaden Daniels? Do you take Drake May? You guys get all up in a pissy about it because it's like, we have a franchise quarterback. And you guys only think that because of the Miami game. You know, I mean, that was a big moment for him. I mean, if he finishes with two wins as a quarterback, has the great debut, but then barely ever wins again the rest of the year, it's really hard, you know, to defend that. And confidence for a fan base and a quarterback, for a coaching staff and a quarterback, for a locker room and a quarterback, I think is very important. So I'll sacrifice the two wins for the or the two spots in the draft for the come-from-behind win against Miami. And I'm sure there will be a lot of you people out there that think that that's crazy, and that's fine, but that's exactly where I sit on it. One texter says, Bowers is elite run after the catch. Bowers makes the game so much easier for Levis. Agreed. I think all these guys do, though, right? Like, I think all these guys help Levis. Alt, which again would be my number one choice tonight, Alt helps Levis. Neighbors helps Levis. Harrison helps Levis. Bowers helps Levis. I think they all help Levis. I think they all help Levis. And so to say like one helps Levis more than the other, I mean, you can make an argument one way or another. One texter says, I don't think any Titan fan out there with any sense would say they wouldn't draft Kelce or Gronk with a top 10 pick. Agreed. And that's what, again, I see Bowers, the comp that I think I see with Bowers is Shannon Sharp. And the reason why is, now he's bigger than Shannon, but I think Shannon was like 245 and he's Shannon was like 235 and he's 245, but he's undersized for a traditional tight end. But he's really a receiver who plays tight end and then can murder people that are smaller than them. One texter says, here's a question for you. Sometimes when there are busts in the NFL draft, the question is who's to blame, the players, the coach, or the GM? So ultimately, I think this falls at the feet really for all of them, because if the GM drafts a player who doesn't do the work themselves, that'll get the GM fired. And obviously, if the players don't perform, if the coach doesn't coach them up, the coach will get fired. I mean, like, I think that it's kind of a cycle, you know, as far as all that's concerned. That being said, I think a lot of the reason why players get bust in the NFL is because guys don't know how to use them. You know, Floyd said to me the reason why he thinks Javon Kearse fell in that draft in 99 was because teams didn't know how to use him because he played everywhere at Florida. But they looked at him and said, you're going to be our right outside defensive end. And obviously the proof was in the pudding. Speaking of Javon Kearse, his teammate, Chris Sanders, will join us coming up next. And Chris will be part of the show tonight out here at 6 o'clock at Twin Peaks in Madison. It's Stillman and Company on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Twin Peaks in Madison, where once again tonight, 6 o'clock, we got the draft show. And somebody just asked me, they said, do you think that, you know, because I heard you talk about Brock Bowers, do you think they're going to take Joe Alt? I think they're going to take Joe Alt. So that's just my gut feeling. Who knows? Chris Sanders joins us on the program. I know he doesn't know who they're going to take. But, Chris, tonight on the draft show, I know you're looking forward to me going crazy when the Titans make the pick at 7. I have a feeling that I'm not going crazy tonight because of all these players that they could pick, whether it's Alt, Neighbors, Harrison, Bowers, Odunze, I love them all. And if they pick one of them tonight at 7, I'll walk out of here a happy man. Do you think it's that simple, or do you think the Titans' thinking might be more complicated than that?
I mean, it could be complicated because nobody knows, and nobody knows how they ranked all those players. All those players that you just named are all great players and all impact players. But, you know, I was just listening to the interview with Joe August, and then I text you. I said it was impressive. And I just think that when you're picking a player, you want to pick a player that's not just a great athlete, but just a great human being. And just listen to what Joe Alt was saying. I mean, it's everything you want. It's kind of what, you know, Rand Carthon and Brian Callahan and those guys want to build. You want to bring players in your building that make everybody around you better. And, you know, so if they go with Joe Alt or they go with another player, I just think it's going to be an impact player, whoever it is.
What did you think of the Alt interview?
Man, let me tell you something. I almost jumped out of my seat. I was going to Walgreens to go buy me some Coca-Cola, and I had to stop and pull over because he said this. He talked about fishing. He talked about the coaches. But here's what he said that was so impressive, Jared. He said, "I want to be coached." And you don't get that in NFL because there's a lot of guys that feel like they arrived and, you know, I don't need coaching, I don't need, you know, correction. And he said, "I want somebody in my face telling me to get better." So when you have a guy like that that wants to be coached, that's already, you know, a great athlete, but you want to be coached, those are the guys that you want in your building.
Chris, when it comes to the three wide receivers, the Titans will probably have a shot maybe at one of them. They probably won't have a shot at two of the three. My question for you is there's kind of a sentiment that Rome Odunze has done everything right throughout this draft process. There's some thought that maybe Marvin Harrison's rubbed some people the wrong way, and it looks like Neighbors could be the first receiver off the board. Yeah. In your opinion, for what you know the Titans want to do, rank the three of them. Forget about whether or not they'll be there. Just on your own personal board, how do you see the three receivers?
You know, number one, I would go with Marvin Harrison. The reason why I love Marvin Harrison, I mean, he's a big guy. He's 6'3", 209. But here's what I love that he brings to the game is he catches the ball in tight windows, and he catches the ball with tight coverage. And when you get into the NFL, you're always going to have tight coverage, and he consistently made plays when he was in college. That's the reason why I rank him number one. And number two, you can go. I'm gonna go with Malik Neighbors. I mean, just like with him, he's a big physical guy. He's 6 foot, 200 pounds, and you know, he's one of those guys that catches the ball and run after the catch. He can run choice routes. He can play, you know, each position in 11 personnel. That's one back, one tight end, and three wide receivers. He can play the X, the H, and actually the Z. So when you have a guy like that with that skill set, he can actually make some plays. And then the guy from Washington, Odunze. I mean, another big guy, 6'3", 212, and he's like that protocol X wide receiver to where you put him on the line and he can beat you with the line of scrimmage. So those how I kind of rate those guys, but at the end of the day, whichever guy you pick, they're still an impact player and they can score touchdowns for your organization.
Chris Sanders is with us. Chris, do you like J.C. Latham? You know, when Trevor said that he thinks Latham could kick into guard or be more suited for guard, that scared the crap out of me. I just want to know kind of because we have heard a little bit of buzz about the Titans and J.C. Latham, and I wonder what you think of J.C. Latham.
Yeah, I mean, he's a big, big physical guy. I mean, just like right now, he's been big like this before, 6'6", 360. And one thing I love about him, he's a mauler. He's a guy that has an attitude. He's big. He's physical. But I think sometimes he's kind of struggled with footwork. And when you have a situation where you're playing guard or tackle, whatever they put him in, you got to make sure you're athletic and have good feet. And I just think that just watching a little bit of his film, he kind of struggles with his feet. But when you got a coach with Bill Callahan that specializes in fixing Kai's skill set, I think that if you bring him in, I think he's going to be an asset for this Tennessee Titans team.
Chris Sanders is with us. Chris, one thing that bothered me the other day when they had the pre-draft press conference is two things specifically. Number one, they had Chad Brinker introduce Rand Carthon, and that leads more to that, like, you know, okay, so who's in charge, the president or the vice president? Because the president's introducing the vice president, and I hate that. And then the second thing is Rand was asked, you know, is this a Rand pick or is this a group pick? And Rand said this is an us pick. And then talked about how, you know, he didn't see something the way the scouts saw it or the way the coach saw it. And people are going to interpret anything that I say about Rand Carthon as being anti-Rand, and that's not true.
Right.
I want to see Rand Carthon. Like, at the end of the day, I want this to be Rand Carthon's choice.
Yeah.
And I'm worried that the Titans have such a fixation on collaboration and everybody gets a say and everybody, sure, that it's going to kind of, you know, that Rand may make a choice that is not necessarily the choice that he wants to make. And I just don't think that's good business. And I'm truly, like, you know, everybody's telling me Rand's great and I am skeptical. Let's see. But I don't like this whole, like, you know, well, the coaches want us to do this. And so let's, because like that receiver coach, he may not be here next year.
Right. Yeah, but see, here's the thing, Rand, and I've been around a lot of great head coaches and a lot of great GMs, but the thing about it is, you know, you want to make sure you involve everybody. I know you don't like that. I know a lot of people don't like that, but at the end of the day, he does make the decision. But before you make the decision, you got to get all your information, not just from a receiver coach or a line coach. You got to get it from your pro scout guys. But at the end of the day, I know he's going to make the right decision. But if you do it alone and you try to do it by yourself and say, okay, I got it, you know, y'all stay over there and I stay over here, then you're really not building the team. You're making it about yourself. And I think with Rand Carthon and just listening to his press conference, I actually love what he's doing. The reason why I love what he's doing is because he's gathered all the information from all the pro scouts and all the, you know, all the coaches that he has, and say, okay, you know what? I got all the information and it's sitting right in front of me. Then now, as the general manager, I got to go make a decision. I just think it's pretty good that he's involving everybody else.
So what you just said is exactly what I think they need to do, but I'm worried that that's not exactly what's going to happen. See, I agree. Yeah. I think Rand should have an open mind and should listen, sure, to his scouts and should listen to his coaches. But then when it's time, like, yeah, well, I want Rand Carthon to be like, let's say, you know, there was a player. Did you ever play with, sure, Byron Mix? Brian Mix?
No, I don't think I played with him.
A defensive tackle?
So Yeah, I did.
Okay. So Floyd talked about him as, I think he was like the 38th pick or something. And sure, he regretted the pick. Because he made it because everybody, the scouts and all the coaches told him, like, hey, you got to pick this guy. And he didn't see it. But he was like, well, everybody's telling me that they love this guy, so it must be something there, so pick him. And he regretted that because he didn't feel it. And my point is, I agree, Rand should talk this, sure, over with Brian Callahan. And it should be a, sure, Brian, how do you see using Brock Bowers if we do this? But at the end of the day, like, yeah, if I were the GM, we'd be going down swinging with my opinion. I'd be open to what everybody has to say. And, you know, you've seen how some of these ex-GMs, sure, and some of these people on TV have said things that, you know, TD says things that kind of sway my opinion on certain players. But at the end of the day, like, you know, and I'm worried that Rand's not going to do that. That he's going to make sure to go, you know, well, everybody else, so let's, you know, we're a team, so let's. And I'm like, if I'm getting fired over this, it's going to be over my guy.
You know, I mean, that's a good observation. But here's the thing. If you look at Rand Carthon's track record, he was the head of Pro Scout. And the reason why he was the head of Pro Scout is because he did his homework. So now you get in a situation to where everybody's talking about, okay, we want to get this guy. This guy is great for our organization. That's where Rand, as a general manager, has to do his homework. Go back and look at film. Look and see if he can fix the scheme. Is he a good guy? All these things that he has to do. And I'm going to kind of put this in a picture to where people can understand. I coach for Montgomery Bell Academy, and our head coach, Marty Everard, he makes the decision, but he involves everybody else. But now, when, sure, we're in a game, when everybody's making noise, he'll be like, okay, y'all need to be quiet. I need to make the decision. And I think that might come a point in time to where Rand Carthon is hearing a lot of noise, but then he's going to have to make the decision. So at the end of the day, he is the general manager. He is in charge. He's going to get all the information. He's going to do all his homework, and I think he's going to come up with the right decision because his job's on the line.
I hope you're right. Chris Sanders, as always, joining us. Chris, we will see you at 6 o'clock tonight.
Can't wait to see you, brother. Love you, man.
Yep, love you too. Man. Chris Sanders, as always, on our program. We hop right to TD. My favorite part of draft day is the TD Power Hour at 3 o'clock, where we'll start with pick number 7 and we'll work our way through. TD joins us next here on the program, live from Twin Peaks in Madison, Stillman & Company on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.